This is KUT. Traffic fatalities are down nationwide over the past few decades, but research shows these declines are mostly among highly educated people. As part of our series, The Road to Zero, we've been looking at traffic deaths and injuries in Austin and the city's plan to reduce them. Austin's Vision Zero plan is aimed at eliminating deaths and serious injuries from the city's roads by 2025. As KUT's Kate McGee explains, the rate of death in car crashes has actually increased for people without a high school diploma.
Having a college degree doesn't mean you're a better driver, but the less education you have, the more likely you are to find yourself living in conditions that are more dangerous.
Typically, when things are generally going good for the whole population, most groups see a decline, and the sort of the gap between the lower and the higher educated groups tends to narrow. But in this case, we actually saw that this gap was actually growing.
That's Sam Harper, an epidemiologist at McGill University. He pulled thousands of death certificates from around the United States. Death certificates list people's education levels. What he found was people without a high school diploma are more likely to be in a fatal car crash than someone with a high school diploma. That gap grows larger when you include people with a college degree. Why is a bit murky. Those who have received less education tend to have a harder time accessing jobs that pay well and live in lower-income neighborhoods where traffic conditions may be less safe. And the poorer you are, the less safe your car is likely to be.
Things like, making mandatory frontal airbags. A lot of cars now, especially, SUVs, have things like side airbags or rollover airbags, automatic crash warnings, things like, those annoying reminders that tell you to put your seatbelt on, better lights in cars.
Those things tend to be more expensive.
People with lower education may not be able to get access to some of these design features.
To understand this more, I went to the neighborhood with the highest percentage of poor people in Austin, Montopolis. That's where I met 74-year-old Florence Ponziano at her house, a well-known place in the neighborhood. She's known as the godmother of Montopolis.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. I woke up this morning.
Her fence is covered in colorful beads and CDs that reflect light. And her backyard is a huge playground for the kids in the neighborhood with swing sets and tree houses. Ponziano is like a lot of people who live in the Montopolis neighborhood.
I can't really afford to buy a car and the premium prices of insurance and everything.
She's too afraid to bike in the neighborhood anymore, and she says sometimes walking can be just as dangerous.
I walk to the store, just this one on the corner, and I teach the kids, go on the light. Wait till the light turns and the figure comes on, and then walk across. Okay, I waited till I start walking. I was halfway through, and this car's turning, not even looking, nearly run. I had a jump, and my whole leg was smashed up. And they didn't even stop. The car behind them stopped to help me.
She depends on the bus, too, but she says the wait times are long, and they're even longer if you need to take multiple buses.
I've been all around different cities. The connections on the buses in Austin are horrible.
Most bus service ends at midnight, which limits options for many low-income residents trying to get home, especially if they've been drinking.
Where is the bus service that runs from 6th Street after midnight? It goes to UT.
This is Jane Maxwell, a researcher at UT Austin.
So would we see a decrease in DWI arrest out in that neighborhood if there was a comparable bus service running at night?
She's referring to the university's e-bus. There is a night owl service from Cap Metro that runs until 3:30 a.m., but there are fewer routes than daytime bus service. Maxwell also says the less money you have, the less likely you are able to take a cab or a ride share, which could lead to more drinking and driving. As Austin gets more unaffordable, many low-income communities have been pushed to the outskirts of the city where high-speed roads were already built. But they don't have sidewalks or bike lanes. Tom Wald is on the city's pedestrian advisory committee.
Traffic safety touches people of all socioeconomic backgrounds. There's no question. But when we're talking about people who are having to walk in these suburbs, oftentimes it is people of lower economic background. It oftentimes are kids who cannot drive and other people who cannot drive. So there are some disparities.
There are various traffic calming measures that the city can install on neighborhood streets to create safer routes for pedestrians, bikers, and drivers. But for that to happen, the neighborhood has to ask for it. Jim Dale is with the city's transportation department. He says they conduct traffic studies and examine high crash areas, but
it's a request-driven process, so we really wait for requests to come in. We are looking to be a little bit more proactive in that and planning the locations.
Those requests can be as simple as a 311 call.
We do not judge or wait any request more than another. If there's a very active community and we get 30 requests for a pedestrian hybrid beacon in one location, that is no different to us than a location in another part of town that just got one.
But it does require people to know 311 is the place to call to request safety improvements. Transportation officials say they have banners around town telling people to call 311 when they have a problem. And they depend on the media to spread the word. Harper with McGill University says sometimes education campaigns require more nuance than that.
They need to think about, you know, how literate people are, how numerate people are, whether or not they're, you know, they're able to sort of get a firm understanding of the risks of, you know, whatever it is that they're going to be communicating to people.
Using a request-based process also assumes all residents have the time to be civically engaged to make that call or have faith in local government to make a difference. That's something Florence Ponziano says is lacking among Montopolis residents.
If the people don't complain in your neighborhood that they want something, they're not going to do anything. And I guess we've had so little things done in our neighborhood for so long, people figure, oh, well, they're not going to do it, so they don't bother calling.
All of this can exacerbate inequities between neighborhoods, making some safer than others.
There's nobody advocating for that infrastructure to be created. The voice is less because people, quite frankly, have less time to go and knock on doors at the legislature or at city council.
That's Lenore Sheffman. She's a personal injury lawyer who represents pedestrians and cyclists who have been hit by cars.
You do the best with what you have. And if you need to be to work at 5 o'clock and you had to get your child to the babysitter and there was no crosswalk for 2 miles, then you know what? You wait for a break in traffic and you run for it. And that, unfortunately, is something that people that don't have to face that dilemma just really can't compute.
Pedestrian hybrid beacons are another new attempt to improve safety. Those are the red lights that pop up when a pedestrian presses a button to use a crosswalk. When one is requested, the city studies whether it's a safe place to put one of these lights. They can't be too close to a traffic light, for instance. The street also has to be at least 3 lanes wide, so they're limited to busy roads like Lamar or Airport Boulevard. But there are at least 2 pedestrian hybrid beacons located on a 2-lane road, Lake Austin Boulevard, right in front of the Austin Transportation Department. Kate McGee, KUT News.